everybody, welcome to the Good Evening Kitties podcast, the Tales from the Crypt review. My name is Melissa, your ghostess with the mostest, and today's episode is season 2, episode 13, Corman's Calamity. Today I have with me, helping to review it, is my friend Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Melissa.
Thanks for coming and doing this with me.
Absolutely.
I wanted you to do this anyway, but I did bring you in because you have more of an artsy background, and this is more of an artsy episode.
Very much so.
So, do you normally watch Tales from the Crypt? Like, have you seen a lot of them, or do you...
I mean, like, I've come over and, like, with our slumber parties and stuff, watched it here. Yeah.
But I mean, like, when you were growing up or anything.
I mean, every once in a while we would catch one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if Charissa, a mutual friend of ours, is bored, like, we'll watch that, and then we'll also watch, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
All right, cool. All right, well, let's see here. So, again, season 2, episode 13, Corman's Calamity. I'm going to go ahead and read the description of the episode here. And now for this monster piece. Drawings of a Tales from the Crypt cartoonist come to life and death. Ooh, death. So this episode aired June 26th, 1990. It was directed by Rowdy Harrington, who also directed Roadhouse.
Oh, wow. Cool.
As always, John Cassier is the voice of the Crypt Keeper, and Danny Elfman does the theme song. The screenplay is by Terry Black, and it stars Harry Anderson, which is the cartoonist guy. He was from TV's Night Court, and he was also in the It movie, the original.
Okay, that's where I know him from then, yeah.
And Cynthia Gibb, who is from TV's Fame, and Colleen Camp, who was from Wayne's World and Clue.
Yeah.
Let's see. We'll go ahead and get started here. So this one opens up with the Crypt Keeper, and he's drawing a picture of himself,
Very Norman Rockwell.
Yeah, I thought it was cool, because it's like, yeah, if you look on the picture, it's like, he's drawing a picture, who's drawing a picture, it's like, oh my gosh, Inception. Yeah. So he's kind of bringing in the episode here, and I I know I say this a lot, like, in my other episodes, but I really always love how they do the Crypt. It always looks a little different every time.
Well, you know, it is a crypt, and crypts traditionally underground are, you know, giant expanses. So the fact that it's, you know, sort of like an underground mansion that you get to see something new every time is actually really nice.
And I also just love, like, the puppetry of him that they do anyway is great. So it's just, yeah. So. Yeah, so they start out here. Jim Corman is a graphic artist for the Tales from the Crypt. So it's a little fourth wall-y here, breaking it in that.
Very much fourth wall-y.
And he likes to wear very loud clothes.
Think Bobby's World in clothes.
Bobby's World Hawaiian-y type shirts. But they kind of open up with his office here at Tales from the Crypt headquarters. And it's pretty cool. It's got a bunch of random death stuff mixed with art stuff. Some sort of creature in a formaldehyde jar. You got Jabba the Hutt.
I didn't even notice the guillotine in the back. That's
Yeah. Mixed in with some Vault of Horror comics. A picture of him and his wife where he's not smiling, which kind of sets it up to be like...
Yeah.
Yeah. There could be some problems there, which will, of course, come to play later. And so, yeah, so he's over there trying to work on this monster drawing that he needs for the comic. And he's kind of having some, just a lot of brain fuzz. Like, it's hard for him to kind of think of the right things. You know, he's so many pencil shavings probably all over that desk. Just keeps erasing. And it's on a Saturday, too, that he's working here. And yeah, this shirt is just super loud. yeah, definitely Bobby's World or, like...
Saved by the Bell?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And so the two guys who he works with who kind of come up with the ideas for the stories for the comics are there. And they're, you know, like, what's happening? What's going on? Why aren't we getting all this... We need to get this episode out, you know, and things like that. And like I said, it's a Saturday, and I think on the clock it was like 4:30 or something. So, I mean, it's been a pretty long day, you know. But, yeah, like you were saying earlier, the you were a little bummed out because these guys have an office.
Yeah, so the office is set up not quite like Dick Tracy, but it does have, like, the glass... half glass doors and whatnot in it, and then it has two offices and open office space, and the two guys, like his two friends that he talks to, they're just idea guys.
Yeah,
you know, they're just sitting there, talking about, you know, a butcher that has to eat his own spare ribs and so yeah. on and so forth. And they have offices. And all they do is come up with ideas and they get their own personal space. Whereas the artist, the one who's actually drawing and doing all of the work,
yeah.
is out in the open space next to the window. But on the flip side of that, you know, if he had an office, it couldn't hold all of this stuff. So him, him being by the window, like, whenever it panned in and it was setting up the scene, there's, like, a clothesline of, like, his comics and everything just, like, hanging yeah, by the window. Yeah. And he's got stuff on window sills and on shelves and everything staggered.
And all his paints and
so it's both, like that. It's both terrible and kind of disgusting that he doesn't have an office, but at the same time, like, he could never have that small of an office anyway, so it's actually more efficient for him to be out in the open.
Well, and plus I noticed too, like, it's kind of an open office situation, and I bet there's other cartoonists and stuff that makes it easier for them to work together, like if they could just walk over to the, yeah. you know, not
well,
be
and
all,
then, like,
secluded.
I assume the secretary's desk is out in the open. Yeah, probably. You know, if these two are the idea guys, because that's all that you really get from this episode, is that they're just idea guys.
Yeah,
you don't,
like,
know
the
if they're
men.
Legal or not, but, you know, the desk behind the guy in the blue and white, which looks like the wife's dress at the
end.
Oh,
yeah, I didn't think about
yeah.
that. Yeah.
That looks like a bunch of legal papers or everything. So the other, like, accounting guy or anybody else that they have in the office
yeah.
with him could also have open offices.
I just don't know if I'd want it to be noisy or... Well, obviously he wants them to be quiet because he's trying to draw, but I would feel like...
But before he had the radio on, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So... I love how the space in the comic is exactly what the monster he's going to draw in that space is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, he has everything else around it,
yeah.
and the monster's
he's
just
going, like,
to take up that amount of
like,
space.
He's like, this guy is scared of something, I don't know what, but I'm going to figure it out eventually. And so there's a knock at the Tales from the Crypt headquarters, and it's Jim's wife, Mildred. And the two guys that are kind of like his bosses both run back to their offices.
My
like,
phone. No, that's my phone.
Yeah. And Mildred walks in, and she's a piece of work. The guys are, like, peeking out of their office. Bob Grimes and Art Goldstein. Okay, one's a publisher, it looks like. And so, yeah, so they're watching and scared and, you know, just whatever. And Mildred comes in and...
saunters up.
She also likes to wear loud clothes. And she's got this dress that looks like a gumball machine with this little hat that looks like a mushroom top.
Don't get me wrong, like, all of her... accessories are just great. Like, the hat isn't just a hat, like, it looks like basket weave reed, right? So it's a pretty top quality hat for that time period. She's got,
I mean, she color codes very well.
Very well. Like,
yeah.
the buttons work, the, you know, acrylic red pearl necklace she's got on, the gold watch, the handbag is really nice.
Yeah.
But then you get to, like, the quality of her, like, just her dress.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. It's just, it's cheap. And I know that, you know, it's Tales of the Crypt and
yeah.
it's TV, but to, like, all of the money in her wardrobe went to just her accessories for the entire show, which is why everybody else is either wearing stuff they brought from home or it's, you know, recycled materials. And it doesn't, like, it wouldn't look so cheap, except she walks around as if she's in old lady makeup.
Yeah.
Like, she's always crouching and
kind
bent weird.
Trying to make her, like, older than she is or something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she really is acting, like, real good, because she's doing a lot of, like, lip movement to make it look like she's always, like, snarling.
Yeah.
Or, like, things like that. And she's basically over here because it's Saturday, and she wants Jim to come home and knock her up. Is basically what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, she wants a baby.
She wants a baby because that will help their relationship. They're
well in
that
the
90s, poor child.
Clearly.
And so she's wanting to, you know, she's like,
"Hi, honey."
"Don't hi, honey, me, you pompous jackass. This is Saturday. When do you plan on coming home?"
"I've got to finish this edition."
"Bullsnot. You can't fool me, Mr. Weekend Workaholic. You got a blonde bimbo stashed away someplace, and when I find her, I'm going to rip her cute little powdered face off. It's not enough that you gotta draw these dumb cartoons instead of getting a real job, but you can't even keep your paws off the secretaries in this goddamned office."
As we had been talking about, she acts as if they just got married 15 minutes ago. Like, she came into the marriage not knowing what he did, not knowing
yeah.
that it would take hours to do.
Like, he
right?
obviously probably had some sort of degree that,
like,
he was at least
the,
working on when they were dating or something.
The resentment that she's showing in this episode is like, you lied to me and I didn't sign up for this, when clearly they've been, because I mean, even the wedding picture is clearly like 10 yeah. years old.
And they're right? not happy. And or at least not. He's not. She's smiling because she bagged herself a man, I guess. But he's like, oh my God. And so he's got a decent job, really. I mean, like Tales from the Crypt, it looks like they put a lot of articles out all the time of cartoons and stuff. So at least it's steady work and yeah. stuff. So she's just more mad, I think, because it's a Saturday. And of course, she thinks that he's sleeping with the secretary or has some other, what she calls a blonde bimbo, hiding out there, you know, like...
Very tropey.
Yeah, like, you know, trying to sleep around and stuff.
Yeah, see, like, look at the way that she's walking yeah. and everything. Like, she's strutting. It's everything's over-exaggerated, which it needs to be, because when you over-exaggerate movement like that, you also come off as very threatening. And that's
yeah.
that's what she's doing. You know, like, she's trying to make herself look bigger than
it's
she
like
is.
It's like she's just swinging her dick around. Like, that's what she's doing. She's like, hey, that's sense. Right. She pees in the corner of the office. Like, this is my man.
Take it.
And so what she's wanting is a baby, and he's having a hard time, you know, getting her pregnant.
Which, honestly, if you were a man... And she treated you like that.
Yeah. He's probably like, thank God they haven't got her
pregnant.
His
penis is probably scared to come out.
Yeah.
Like.
And so she wants him to take these pills, and she's been counting them, and she notices that he hasn't been taking what he's been saying. And he says that there's been, you know, this medicine is not approved by the FDA, and he's been getting some weird side effects.
What side effects?
It's like it's making my imagination fertile. I think it's... affecting my brain.
You know, magic Viagra yeah, pill that like gives him drawing powers.
Yeah, like a potency pill that is making his mind go crazy with imagination.
Yeah.
And, you know, so...
If only he could channel that to the bedroom.
Yeah. Because, I don't know what she's expecting him to change the mind of by being this way. Like, that's gonna, like...
I love her handbag, though.
Yeah,
little lunchbox,
cute.
Basket weave. Look at that hat. That's a... Audrey Hepburn would wear that hat.
Yes.
That poor guy.
Yeah.
And I'm serious, he looks like Dana Carvey from Master yeah. of Disguise.
Yeah,
like,
he does. But yeah,
big
Harry,
glasses, haircut, everything.
Harry Anderson does look a lot like him. And I think they're kind of popular around the same time period, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically, he doesn't want to try to get her pregnant. He won't take the pills. And he's basically like, you know, maybe you should just get a new husband. And then she's like, oh, you know, you better get your ass home whenever, you know. And so she...
You'll never get rid of me.
Yeah. She's like, we are stuck together for till death do us part. And it's like, don't say that in Tales from the Crypt episode. Because yeah. that usually is signifying something's going on down the road. But so he's so mad. So he automatically thinks of what this monster is going to be. And he just draws like this lizardy swamp type monster that's like attacking this guy. And so it cuts later then to he's at this laundromat. And there's this girl there, and she, you know, she's cute, she's doing her thing, you know. She's
very young, very attractive
yeah,
brunette.
She's doing her laundry, and he's staring at her like a creep, folding his clothes.
Like, really a creep. He's creeping on her hard.
Like, he's drooling a little bit. Like, yes, and I'm kind of surprised
he's
desperate. I'm just kind of surprised he even has the guts to do this, considering how his wife is.
If anybody attractive walked in that laundromat, he would be like... on top
See,
of
I don't
it.
Know. I feel like maybe it was like love at first sight for him a little
maybe.
Bit. But I don't know. Or it could be the potency pills he's taken. Maybe just everything.
It ups his libido,
everything,
not for his wife.
Yeah, everything is looking attractive. But she's just kind of minding her own business. And she looks at him and, you know, just like, whatever. And getting her stuff together. And he's folding his
underwear.
Huge, tidy whities that are high-waisted.
That.
Yeah. And, you know, he's just kind of watching her. But, yeah, he is being kind of creepy about it because he just...
That just cracks me up that he just leaves his laundry soap. He just walks out of there.
Yeah, he just leaves all the soap there.
That's some lazy product placement.
Yeah, all detergent.
I can't say anything because I use all detergent.
Oh, do you? Actually, I think I do too, yeah. But yeah, so then when he goes to leave, you know, he wraps up his stuff and he goes to leave. And he's still looking at her outside the window. And so she sits down to read her tawdry,
trashy
romance novel. And she's kind of just sitting there reading and... And she hears this noise, and she's like, all right. And it's a cute little laundromat, very standard laundromat. And yeah, so she's reading it, and it's called, like, The Wild Family, I think is the name of the book. Nope, maybe Wild Taming. I don't know.
Something.
And so the lights go out, and the power goes out in the laundromat, and she's like, great, you know. And for some reason now she can't get the doors open for the thing, which I don't... Would it lock it like that if the power went out?
No. So it wouldn't lock it like that, but I think it's locked because...
Because of the cycle it was in?
Well, no, because that's the one that the monster comes out of.
So that's why it's locked?
Maybe. Because later on with the kids in the refrigerator, they couldn't get that open either.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, yeah. You're picking up all kinds of stuff. Good,
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. So, because it's one of those standard, like, pull tab.
Yeah.
You know, front-facing
like
dryers.
Like, clicks in.
Yeah, so she shouldn't have any trouble, but she is. And she turns around angry at the machine, and a guy sneaks up behind her.
Yeah, this guy's great. He's standing there, and he's got this, like, country accent.
He's got, like, hella plaid going. Yeah.
Lots of plaid, and she's like, oh my gosh, do you work here and stuff? And he basically tells her that he did cut the power to the laundromat because... He doesn't like there to be light on whenever he does whatever this is that he's gonna do.
And I just really love, well, I don't love, I think it's terrible and creepy, but, you know, sarcastically love, that they're in a big city and the rapist is, you know, rural Midwest America.
Yeah.
And, you know, no ma'am, yes ma'am, I'm gonna stab you in the face ma'am.
Yeah, she's like, are you gonna hurt me? And he's like, yes ma'am, I am.
Are you going to hurt me?
Yes ma'am, I'm afraid so.
And she's like, oh crap. And so she starts to run, and then she, you know, she tells him that she's a cop. And she
I would have done first, but I guess she needed the room.
Yeah, or maybe she was just hoping that would be like her backup plan, you know, maybe that would turn. And so she's like, you know, you better watch yourself because I'm a cop. And she shows him her badge, and he thinks it's just like a toy badge, like, okay, which kind of a smart idea, really carry around a toy cop badge, right? And just like, you know, if something happens. And and so he still tries to attack her, and I love the fact that she actually is a cop.
Yeah. She uses maneuvers, flips him over, and he's like, ow.
Yeah.
Like, she actually, like, why did you do that?
Flips him, and I was like, oh, good, she is actually a cop. Or, what, you know. And so now he's really mad, and so he's coming after her, and as he is, the washing machine starts going off.
Yeah, because it's the same one.
Yeah, it is. Okay. And so the washing machine's going off, and then all the soap comes out in this huge... like lizardy swamp thing comes out, and I love this part because she's like, oh my god, behind you.
Oh my god, behind you.
That's the oldest trick in the book.
Well, and the way, yeah, and that's the way that she says it is, I feel like that's how you would be, because you'd be like, is that a walking lizard monster? Like,
well, yeah, because her, like, because we've seen horror movies, yeah, and they try to do that, like, oh my god, what's behind you, like, of concern. Yeah. So I get where he came from, but honestly, if something, you know, a giant swamp orc monster came out of your washing machine, yeah, that's exactly how you'd be. Like, I'm trying to warn you, but I am...
Like, I don't even care that you're here right now, because there's this monster back here that's even worse. So, you know, maybe you should look behind you. And so this monster bites him on the head.
Laziest monster.
Yeah.
Bites him on the head and ends up, I guess, tearing the head off because the entire head falls on the ground.
Yeah, rips this guy's head off. It comes falling down. There's a little bit of blood. It's not super gory. The head's kind of gross looking, but...
And she escapes.
Yeah, she gets out, leaves her laundry there. She don't need no clothes.
So I guess what the story is, you know, every woman needs a giant swamp ogre.
Yes.
As protection.
And to know karate. And so now it's to, the cops are there, and I guess she ran to go get the cops or whatever, so.
I love that the hat on the head is outlined.
And the cops are there investigating and, like, interviewing her, and there's an outline of the guy's body and his head to the side, and they even have the hat that he was wearing outlined. Because that died too, I guess. And, so it's kind of cool, and they're just talking to him, and so she basically finds out that, you know, she tells the cops about the monster and stuff, and they're like, you know, you're crazy, that we've been getting a lot of calls about all this weird stuff, like a T-Rex in a Volkswagen, and all these other monsters, and he's like, I think people are just watching too many horror movies and stuff, and just being crazy and not paying attention, and...
Like, they're not believing her, especially considering that she left and came back, so they're like,
yeah,
you're high or something.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm a cop.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Take my credibility.
Well, yeah, they think she might have been drinking or something, and he's like, I can't, you know, because she knows some of these guys, and she's just like, come on, you know me, I'm not like this. And so he's just like, you know, people are crazy. I think you maybe just saw something you thought was there that wasn't. Yeah. And so the next day, she's out doing her police beat, walking around, and she passes up the newspaper stand. And there's a bunch of Tales from the Crypt comics, which I'm not sure if that would even... There's a lot of comics there, really. For a newsstand.
They've got a ninja comic, they've got Nova, they've got Tarzan.
You got X-Men.
Yeah.
All of them. Transformers. And so she's walking by, and that's when she notices the Tales from the Crypt comic books, and they're all the stuff that the cops were talking about the night before, like the T-Rex and the Volkswagen, and, you know, all the other monsters and things like that. And she has a great imagination, because she starts to put two and two together right away.
Well, it starts because she essentially sees her scene from last night on one of them. And then, like, next to them is the scenes described to her.
Well, so. And they must really be putting these episodes out quick, because he just drew that, like, the day before.
Yeah.
And it's already out on...
Well, and then, so the cover of the one actually shows a guy that looks like the guy that tried to rape her.
Yeah.
With the monster coming out of the washer behind him. So then it begs the question... Is he just a bad rapist guy just doing it and it was all happenstance? Or was he a part of the plot of the drawing?
You mean like the guy?
Like the guy who drew it thought
maybe that guy was gonna like get what's coming to him or something?
Well, no. So like the guy who turned off the electricity and actually got in there and was going to rape her, is he a part of that? Like would he have just been on his day... And because he looked like the character, just suddenly
he was just compelled to do this.
Yeah, I'm gonna go rape a woman in a laundromat. That could be, you know. So then, is he a killer as well? Like instead of by proxy, you know? Because that, you know, I point that out toward the end. Does she actually go with him because, you know, she wants to, or because of that's how he?
Yeah.
Drew
how
the
long
comic.
Are these Viagra pill side effects running? You know. And so she grabs these comics and she just leaves without paying for them. And then, you know, she figures out there's a guy named Jim Corman who's drawing these or whatever. So she goes over to the Tales from the Crypt headquarters, which just so happens to be in the state she's living in and or city she's living in.
She doesn't go to the office.
Well, true.
Of them. She
true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right now they're kind of cutting. So it's later and it's the office and Jim's back there on the phone with, I think his wife again. Yeah.
Yeah. She's yelling at him.
And this is an actual work day, so it's probably like Monday or Tuesday by now. And then they have the secretary, who I'm assuming is the blonde bimbo that Mildred was talking about earlier, but she is definitely, I don't know. She's
good looking, but her color coordination sucks.
But the guys are like ogling her and like barking at her and stuff, and she loves it. And then she's got her tatas all jacked up. And
a corset couldn't get those tatas out up there.
And just all up there. And she's like touching on their hands and stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is just like an HR problem waiting to happen. But
for real. And I guess she's passing out newspapers or at least like finished pages for proofreading or something.
Yeah, or maybe like the days. Because
like, it looks like packs of paper that are all the same.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that the Crypt Keeper was back there.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, in the chair behind the guy. If you back up a little bit. See him?
Oh, it is, yeah. He's got, like, the little, I guess we're getting electrocuted or something on.
This particular episode is very aware of itself.
Yeah, it's, straight
very,
Tales from the
Crypt. Very, very aware of itself. So, he's talking to his wife, she's yelling at him, as she always does.
She's like...
And he gets frustrated, and he was working on an ogre, I guess, for the comic.
Yeah.
And while talking to her... transforms the ogre into the wife.
Yeah, he's kind of been, like, adding the little accessories that she carried, like the purse and stuff.
So same dress, same hat, same gloves.
And so he's, like, kind of putting all his anger into this, because the wife is, you know, she's like, wait till you get home and all this stuff. And as he's drawing it, the he hears a noise behind him in the building, but then he ends up deciding to leave for the day, and he scraps the paper and throws it away, and then the monster disappears. So there was going to be something showing up in the office, but since he didn't finish it, it couldn't. And so he leaves for the day to come home to his wife and everything. And he goes to get in his car. It's kind of old vintage car. It's kind of cool. And then,
it's a nice car.
Yeah, he gets in the car and then he gets a tap on the shoulder. And it's the cop lady.
Sorry to startle you, Mr. Corman. It's you.
You're the girl from the laundromat. What the hell are you doing in my car?
My name is Lorelei Phelps. I'm a policewoman.
Because she couldn't just go to the office like a normal person. She had to break into the car, sit in the back seat, and wait for him like
a creeper.
She had
to terrify him first. Again, and her name is Lorelei, actually. And so she's there to explain to him, like, I saw this monster, and it looked a lot like your drawing, and I've noticed that other ones have been coming to life. And she immediately just puts two and two together, like I said, yeah. And she's just like, okay, so I think in some weird way your drawings are coming to life. I don't know why.
And it's really funny because he's like, what are you talking about? And she's very hard-ass. Like, she's very bad cop in that this is what's happening. Yeah. These are your drawings. These are, you know...
Look at this newspaper.
Like, it's funny because the back seat acts as, like, a partition that she can just, like, have all these props laying on the sleeve. So she can, like, flop back and forth to be, like, she's like bringing up different things to show
Look
him.
Look at this paper. Here is my sandwich. She's just, like, pulling things up.
But she's very serious about it. And he is, like, okay.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
He's like, that's
are you kidding
pretty
me?
Far-fetched that you're coming up with. But okay. So she's like, well, let's go inside and we'll prove it, you know? I'll have you draw something and it'll come to life and we'll figure, you know, figure out what's going on.
I mean, I think it was very smart that she has the Tales of the Crypt comics that show, you know, that have the covers of the different scenes. And then she has, I guess, police renderings of the scenes.
Yeah, from people describing it.
Exactly, of what the witnesses saw.
And of course, it looks just like his picture.
And it looks just like it. So the fact that she has both to be able to show him, I guess, helps him to be like, okay, we'll do this.
Well, and he also thinks she's cute. So he's like, you want to go upstairs? That's cool. And so she's like, draw a monster and we'll see what happens. And so basically what this, you know, whole thing is that basically the mix of his bad marriage and fertility pills are bringing his drawings to life. That's the side effect, at least for him.
So those of you who have bad marriages, don't take, you know, secret, FDA-approved Viagras.
Especially if you're a cartoonist.
Yeah.
And so while he's drawing and stuff, he takes his wedding photo and throws it away, just like, right, like, yeah, that's right, and his wedding ring's got off and everything, and he's like, I don't even care anymore.
I love the shrunken heads.
Yeah, she's going through all this stuff, and she's, like, got a shrunken head, and she's got these real high-waisted jeans on.
Hey, from the 90s,
yeah. They're cute. I just can't wear that stuff, man.
Oh, no.
Too much, but, yeah, works for her.
That's the style today. You know, thrift store 80s, 90s mom's jeans. I love her shirt, though.
Yeah. It's
a nice shirt. Yeah. He's still wearing an ugly shirt.
He's still got crazy outfits. And and so he draws this, like, creepy thing coming out of, like, a fridge. And, you know, and she's like, cool. And so he finishes the picture. And, you know, they're like, well, I guess we'll wait and see if something happened. Because he's kind of expecting something to happen, like, right now. And she's like, it could have happened anywhere, which is still happening whatever city they're in. Like,
yeah.
It's still
maybe it hasn't been spotted. Let's wait a little bit.
Yeah. So she's like, okay. So then in the meantime, he's like, all right, well, I'm going to go, whatever, you know, we'll see whatever happens. And he immediately is coming on to her, which
you have to admit, like, throughout this, for someone who's having marital problems, he's like hella smooth.
A little, but like but
I don't know where he got the confidence to be that way.
Yeah. Like all of a sudden, like, I don't know if that's another side effect of the pill, because
he went from like, yes, dear, to, oh, hello.
Yeah,
like he got really, really smooth.
But it's almost been a little too aggressive, because he's like grabbing her neck and like stuff and like pulling her close, like, hey, and she's like, no, let's not.
Well, that's also, you know, 90s television movie, you know, attraction trope tactics. I mean, it would definitely not work in today's society. So, you know, it's dated that way.
I wouldn't even have thought technically that she would have had something for him, but I mean, I guess because he's figuring if the monster's not real, maybe that's why she's here, because she likes him and she's just trying to make up an excuse to see him.
Yeah,
you know. So he basically,
now that she knows who he is,
and what
before,
this is the part that really annoys me, is because earlier he just grabbed her neck like real softly and was like gonna kiss her, and then she's like, no, don't. And so then he follows her to the window and they talk for like 2 minutes, and then he's like, now we kiss, and she's like, okay. And then she like literally is like, okay. And so like he asks her out to dinner, doesn't mention his wife, anything about it. I don't think she knows anything about her.
Sloppy makeup.
Yeah, making out and everything. It's like, you know.
I love the exaggerated like arm movements. Like I have to scoop all this air.
It's just like in her it's like the picture from her romance novel, kinda. Yeah, they were embracing. I just noticed that. Oh my gosh. And so so now she's
imagery.
Yeah, now she's like, okay, now she's kind of like playing hard to get, like, okay. Well.
She's got a very Hermione phase.
Yeah. She's like, I probably shouldn't have done that, but okay, we can go to dinner.
Tell me over dinner.
Yeah, we'll go to dinner. Buy me food. I'm starving. I'm a cop. I don't make a lot of money. She's like, I'm so hungry. So then it cuts to the next day or somewhere, you know, around that, probably next day. These little boys are all out there playing in this really cool abandoned warehouse that I totally would have been into as a kid.
Oh, absolutely. So it looks like to be an abandoned building.
Like
maybe
like
an old
factory.
Just full of iron and burning barrels.
And they got these cute little, like, plastic army hats and guns. And then there's this little bitty kind of nerdy kid who's cute, and he wants to play too, but they don't let him. And so he's got his little cowboy pistol, which is kind of cute because they all have army guns. And
yeah.
He's like, I'm going to be a cowboy. So he's kind of off walking around by himself, and he comes across this refrigerator. And I do, like, they mention it here, but I do remember that whole panic about these refrigerators and kids getting trapped in them.
Well, yeah, because that was the thing, you know, if there was nuclear war, jump in this refrigerator. But yeah. Once you're inside of it, you can never get back.
Like, like refrigerators nowadays, it's not so bad, but back when these ones that, like, click shut.
Yeah.
Those are the ones, like, they were so sealed that you had to really pull on them to get out.
Like, you'd have to kick, and kids did not have the force to do that.
I still find that kind of weird that that's a thing that, like... Because I probably would be dumb enough to hide in one of the fridges. And then so, but like the fact that he's like, you shouldn't be in there, you're gonna die. Mom said you can't hide in the fridge.
Well, see, that's what I think it's funny, that he's yelling for the boy not to be in the fridge. And then later he's like, oh, hey, boy who I just called in the fridge, come here.
Yeah.
Look at this fridge.
Well, it's because then he realizes this green goo comes out of the bottom of the fridge. And so he calls the guys over because, you know, he's...
You know what? He probably, like, scared... that monster in that fridge, and that monster just peed themselves.
That's monster pee, like just real thick. Because
he was like, I'm trying to get out of this fridge, and this kid comes up, starts shaking the fridge, and the guy's like, oh god, what's happening?
This monster's like, I just was dreamt into existence. What happened? So he's like, guys, look at this fridge, and then the kid named Butch, I think, is like, trying to open it, and he can't get it open, and they hear all this growling inside, and so this kid's like, for some reason trying to use it against the little kid to scare him. It's like, do you not see the green stuff coming out? And so that's when this old creepy, like, skeletal thing comes out behind him.
Scares all the kids except for the one.
Yeah, because he doesn't know. He thinks he's scaring them, as if he's that scary. And then he turns around and sees the creature and screams. Ah!
And the nerdy kid has the balls to stop and be like, calls dibs.
I love this part, yeah.
Remember, I found him.
He's like, I found him, guys.
He's running.
I'm cool, I found the dead thing in the fridge. I do like the way that monster walks, though. It's kind of
neat.
So it cuts back to the office there. And, you know, Jim's behind schedule now. So I guess it's later that night or, yeah. And he's got a loud tie and loud shirt. But he's got a coat on. But he's wasting his...
He got super smooth, like, because his shirt is like... a muted color, muted tie, nice, crisp, light gray coat. Like, he went from, like, artistic, fathery slob, you know, wearing Saved by the Bell shirts to being, like, this suave...
I don't know, I think it's still got some stuff. I think that tie had a pair of eyeballs on it.
Well, yeah, it has to be, I mean, you know.
Just a little bit of something?
Yeah, but the he's better with color coordination, he's trying. Essentially.
Well, yeah, because he's going to go out to dinner with her tonight. So he's like...
Yeah, well, dinner out tonight.
Yeah,
he's
dinner,
hoping.
Dinner-ish. And, you know, and so he's kind of behind schedule, and he's sitting there drawing a picture of the two of them at dinner, you know, him and Lorelai looking like they're in love. And you were mentioning earlier, like maybe he willed that into existence too, which I didn't even think really about that.
Yeah, because whenever he looks... So the guy comes in and he's like, you're late. You know, you're not doing the brain eaters from the Amazon or whatever.
Yeah.
And he looks down and the guy is drawing, but he's drawing like a romance comic.
Yeah.
And it's him and Lorelai sitting at a table.
Which is the scene later at the end.
Exactly. Yeah. Chatting that, you know, oh, hey. And but then, it, you know, how far along? Because if she's already into him, like, is it like force of nature of how he does and the drawings are just like a personification of what's already going to happen? Not personification, but you know, if it,
or maybe
is
it only
a symbol
works,
of what's already going
to
happen?
Or maybe it only works with his anger. Like, maybe. Whatever he does in anger comes to...
But,
you know.
Yeah, so, because it's clearly him and Lorelai, even though the guy, you know, is like, oh, did your wife lose weight, you know?
Yeah.
So he doesn't understand.
Or, I mean, maybe he could have tested it out, draw, like, a little pile of money, see if that appears somewhere.
But still, like, yeah, so it's, you know, if we go by that... of he's drawing them and then they end up together by the end of the movie, is that what happened with the rapist? Like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And so the phone rings and, you know, Jim's still working and...
It's Lorelai.
It's Lorelai, and he's so in love now, even though he's been on her for like 32 hours. And he's been thinking about her. You know, he's...
And he turns. He, like, turns away from the door.
Well, the window, I think.
Well, no, because the door's back there.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, turns away from the door, still desk, and he, you know, talks, of, you know, he starts flirting with her, right? And is like, oh, you want to go out to dinner? I know this place around the corner with soft music, you know, all this imagery of, you know, I totally want to bone you. And he's like, you know, come on up, see you in 5, hangs up the phone,
and
his wife's behind him.
There's Mildred, and she is not happy, and I can't say I blame her. Because she heard all of it. She knows exactly what he's doing.
Absolutely all
of it. And the other two guys who were working there had already left. They just left for the day. So I guess when they were leaving, maybe she just walked past them or whatever. But she's in this loud, great outfit. Blue and white dress. Stripes.
I guess it's supposed to be like a 30s drop waist sailor outfit?
Yeah,
maybe?
It almost looks like she's going to go on a yacht or something.
You know why he wears, you know, shitty shirts? Because she spends all the money buying these outrageous outfits.
These imported dresses. And so she's mad. She knows exactly what he's doing, and
she thinks it's a call girl. She doesn't know who Lorelai is. But she's still mad, which she should be.
So she's like, you wait right here. I got a surprise for you in the car.
This is a discrepancy, because she's like, I'm going to be back, and, you know, I'm going to go get this thing from the car. And Lorelai's supposed to be on her way up.
Unless she one took the stairs and one took the elevator.
I don't know, but the wife has enough time to go down, get what she's gonna get, come back up, go into the office, and be like, I have a surprise for you, honey. Well, bam, it's a gun.
Well, yeah, considering the fact that...
And while she's doing that, he has time to draw his wife again.
He's a quick draw.
As an ogre in the same outfit.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Which is hilarious.
Got some legs for days.
Look at them calves.
Great calves for this troll thing. And then, I think about that. The fact that she took the elevator down and then back up and never ran into Lorelai, even though
I mean, unless Lorelai was more like, oh, I'm like 3 blocks away, and he's like, come on up. Because, I mean, I do that too.
Well, yeah, because you could be like, I'll be there in 5 minutes, but really it's like 15.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I guess it's something like that. So she runs back up, she goes down and gets, I don't know, looks like a .44 or something. She gets a pretty thick, like, revolver-type gun, and she comes back upstairs, and she's...
He's still drawing.
Yeah, he's still drawing the monster.
The monster comes to life behind, of course, like down the hall.
Yeah, and so as that's happening, she comes in and she's like, hey. And Mildred walks in and she comes right up and points the gun right at him.
Here's a surprise, honey. Well, bam, it was murder.
Yeah.
She's like, and even the way that she holds it, like,
yeah.
She's like, her knees are bent, she's crouched down, her arms are like winged out, holding the gun with both hands. And then it turns into, like, Dune, where everywhere he moves, you know...
She's following it.
She's, like, following him, like an old shooter game.
Well, and the fact, too, that, like, she had a big plan in this, probably. Unless it was for protection, but, I mean, she probably went and got the gun, got a license and everything, had this in mind. Like, if he ever goes to leave me, I'm pulling this gun out, you know?
For real.
And so, she's threatening with the gun and trying, you know, saying that he should explain what's going on, and he's... folding up a piece of paper, and she wants to see, and it's a drawing of her as a monster.
And then she gets mad. You draw me as a monster?
Well, of course you wouldn't, you?
You were drawing me as a monster?
No, you don't understand. It's these pills. I take these pills, and then I draw something. And then if I think about it hard enough, something happens.
At first, though, she's kind of like, really? And then she realizes it's because he thinks she's a monster.
Yeah.
And then now she's mad.
Old woman again.
And he's like, honey, no, it's these pills. Seriously, I draw something and these pills and it comes to life. And then that's when herself, or the monster, jumps out dressed in the same outfit. And I love this monster.
This monster... Okay, so the dress that Mildred is wearing, like, the hat is very flattering for her. The dress is not, like, 0%. But on the monster, it's lovely.
Monster's got some curves. She's wearing it
for
good.
For real. Like, I don't know if it's because it's, like, a grandma dress to me or what, but no, like...
No, she's rocking this dress. She's got these huge pearls.
I'm kind of upset that the hat is smaller on the monster than it is on Mildred, because everything else is bigger on the monster, but the hat...
But the monster's got a big head.
Yeah.
But yeah, you think it would adjust. But yeah, she's got these big old red nails and huge red lips. And I love this, too, because Mildred is not scared.
No.
At all. In fact,
there's sort of a monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah, they're having, like, a standoff. She immediately is like, what's this? And it's like...
Is this me?
Yeah. And, of course, I don't know if I would be afraid or not. I guess I would think it was a costume.
Well, she also has a gun.
True.
You know, if I had a gun and the monster displayed as me looking, you know, like that came out.
But it's basically her in a monster form. And like I said, it's great. And this monster is very sassy.
What the hell is that?
That's you.
Sorry.
Well, that's flattering. Is that how you picture me, Jim? As a rancid heap of garbage?
And the monster actually goes for him. So, you know, in her place, with the gun, the monster not coming for me, I wouldn't be scared. So the monster goes to him. Yeah. And she's still complaining because she never shuts up.
Yeah, and Mildred's just like, what is this horrible creature? This thing's horrible. She kill it.
And then she starts, you know, critiquing and bad-mouthing the monster. And had she just shut up, the monster would have killed him. Yeah. But she said one bad thing too many.
Yeah.
And the monster's like, girl, what you say?
Yeah. Now I'm after you. And really, yeah, had she not said anything, I bet the girl, the monster would have killed Jim, and then they could have high-fived and went out to dinner together or something.
But no, so the monster's coming after Mildred.
And getting shot in her big old boobies.
Yeah, and, you know, now they're fighting, which I imagine is just like this, like, cartoon roll-around cloud fighting.
They're just,
fighting.
Like, choking each other.
And he's just like, bye, guys.
And he throws the pills away. He's like, I don't need any of this. I'm not going to have to explain the bloody mess in my office on Monday or on next today. And so that's when he goes to leave and he's shutting the door. And then Lorelai shows up ready for dinner. And she's like, oh, sorry, I'm late. So I guess they covered the
blood
on that
and
one.
He's like, no, you just let's go out to dinner. And the, the monster and Mildred are in the background. Because like I had said in the beginning, there was like Dick Tracy doors with the windows
the frosted
and
glass or whatever.
Yeah, and you see the shadows of these like the monster just fighting each other. And he's trying to get Lorelai not to look back
and
see
it. And I can't believe
it.
She doesn't fall for that. She's a cop.
Right.
And you hear like this noise and stuff and she's just like, okay, well let's go. Like I would have been me totally have been like, oh hang on, what's going on in there? You know? Right.
And I think she's classier than wearing that top. I'm a little disappointed that she's wearing that top.
Yeah.
But that again, if we go by the comic that
he drew that on her. He's like, that's what I like. I like a dress that looks like you laced up a tennis shoe. Mildred's on the frosted glass, like, oh god. Yeah, I don't know what'll happen if that monster will disappear or you know, same thing with the other monsters he's been drawing. Are they just loose now? Are they just running around that little...
I guess, like, after the story's done, they just disappear.
Maybe.
Because, I mean, they never caught any
Because they only really
the
disappear
monsters.
Whenever he, crumbles up the paper.
Well, so that one disappeared because that one was part of a story and it has to complete the story. Right? So, take the swamp ogre... The swamp ogre came out of the washing machine to attack the rapist. Mm-hmm. Once the rapist was dead, the swamp monster's story was over. So it disappeared. Whereas,
but what is this monster?
Mildred monster Mark One that didn't make it, you know, he drew her. So she was going to fulfill whatever story he was going to draw her. And then he scrapped it.
But what's the goal for this monster? Like, he just drew a picture of her. So she might stick around.
Yeah, she might kill Mildred and become the new Mildred because, you know, Highlander rules. And she might follow him and Lorelai to the
ends of the earth. Start
yelling
at Jim, like throwing the pills at him, like, I want a baby.
So now Jim has to give, you know, Mildred monster a baby.
Monster baby thing. But yeah, so then they head out to dinner and it shows the cartoon drawing of them at dinner. And they're, you know, Lorelai and Jim are together and they're about as close as you can be while sipping champagne and out on a balcony. And I guess he'll never tell Mildred or tell Lorelai he was married.
No, because she just asked, so tell me, are you married? Which is terrible line for anybody.
And he's
to
just
up.
Like, not anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
So yes. Mildred got taken care of. Yep. He got the girl.
he got the girl. I wonder how long the side effects will last until they wear off. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so then
you may never know. It was never FDA approved.
That's true. It could be permanent. Now everything he draws is coming to life.
And he just threw those pills in the trash can at work. There's some horny guys there.
That's true.
You know?
You're going to have a lot of problems. Oh, well, man. He's the only cartoonist, though. So, but maybe, I don't know. And so then that's the end of the episode. Jim is happy with Lorelai. And it cuts to the Crypt Keeper. And he's finishing up some drawings of his own and throwing out the puns and... Crypt Keeper, you're so punny. And the best Crypt Keeper pun is...
How's that for a sappy ending? Was it a little too graphic for you? Oh well, next thing you know, Jim and his new gal pal will be walking down the easel together.
So yeah, so that's the end of the episode, and there's no IMDb trivia for this one. The next episode will be season 2, episode 14, Lower Birth. So thank you for listening to the Good Evening Kitties podcast. You can email me with any questions or comments or anything at goodeveningpod@gmail.com. There is also a new Facebook page for the Good Evening Kitties podcast if you want to go and like that. I'm on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbay, Podbean, anywhere mostly that you can find podcasts. I do enjoy 5-star reviews on iTunes, so if anyone out there feels like they would like to do that, that'd be awesome. And again, thank you for listening. And Heather, thank you for guest hosting here on this episode.
Absolutely, anytime.
All right, and thanks, guys. Bye.
I just had quite a scare. I actually thought my heart was beating.